Yeah,
what's good, bro?
Yo, yo. Oh, shoot. We're rolling. All right. What's up, everybody?
What's good, man?
Episode 4.
You a fly Korean, yeah, bro. Mashallah.
I thought I'd rock the pink today.
Yeah, dude.
I haven't rocked pink for a minute.
It matches your cheeks, though.
Yeah? So you're saying I'm pink? That's what you're saying?
Sure, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, so what's good? Oh, wait. Shout out to the sponsors. We got started off by shouting out to the sponsors. Manscaped, Manscaped.
We got, yeah, we got to make sure we get that copy.
We got to get that trademark.
Trademark, yep. Bro. Because if Manscaped do this, we suing them, bro. But we got proof I said it first.
Yeah. And we got to collect the royalties from Manscaped. You know what I mean?
You better get that money up.
Yeah, we'll split it 50-50.
Can't escape this man, Manscaped.
The Rolex of men's grooming.
All right.
Don't forget, you get 20% off when you use the promo code
BUTUQ
on any purchase
on
manscaped.com.
All right.
Yeah. Shout out to Don Rubens. Oh, yeah. We're going to do that mukbang. We're going to do that.
We got to do it.
I already hit her up and let her know. The owner.
So we coming.
Yeah.
All right.
We're about to eat up those tacos and flautas.
Don Rubin, I ain't going to lie, bro. Don Rubin is banging. Yeah. Every time you mention it, every show, I get hungry instantly, yeah, bro. Start bringing some tacos with you there, bro.
Quiet. My stomach growling, man.
Yeah, bring some tacos, man.
Dude. Yeah, shout out to our Hot Kicks, Streetwear Plug.
We love them, man. They took care of us,
hooking
man.
Hooking it up.
Young boys doing.
I finally figured out that that's levitating and supposed to do that, not just stick on there like the last 3 years. Episodes, yeah.
That's about to put me to sleep. Took me a minute,
right? Shout out to Object. You know, thank you hooking us up with the props to decorate our set.
For sure.
Yeah. So
what else is new, bro?
What's been good, man?
Why we got these headphones? Because usually we rock without the headphones.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so like, I was on Amazon the other day.
Uh-huh.
You know, just grooming, you know, because, you know, I'm a compulsive buyer. So I'm like trying to find things to buy. And I came up across your book.
Wow.
Yeah.
You still haven't written the book? You ain't read it yet?
Well, I don't like reading. I usually wait for the movie to come out.
Or the audio book. We're working on the audio book.
You guys do have the audio book.
We're going to do the audio book.
Oh, when?
Definitely.
Because that's my
Soon, we're going to get it popping.
I hate reading.
We're going to get it popping soon.
I've always hated reading. Like,
but you might got to read the
book. But it's your autobiography, right?
Autobiography? You already had me edumacated last week. You know, I was getting my edumacation on, bro.
Definitely. But it's about you and your life and.
Yeah, it's written by the homie
Suleiman. From thug life to mug life, right?
Yeah, from thug life to mug life to rug life.
To
thug life, from mug life to rug life. You know what I mean? So it's written by the homie Suleiman Jenkins.
How's he doing, by the way?
He's good, man. You know he back home.
You know what? Hold on.
What are you doing? You texting him?
No. Hold on. Yo.
Who you calling,
bro? Yo, you there? Hey, you busy right now?
Who you calling,
man? Can you get on a Zoom call? Okay, cool. I'm gonna send you a Zoom link in a bit, okay? Hold on. Hang on. All right. One. Hey, can you send him a Zoom link? Suleiman.
Man, you can't be having no surprise guest without my permission, bro.
Okay, all right, got it.
Who, Suleiman? The homie?
Huh? Oh, dude, I just messed it up.
Yo!
Yeah. Hold on.
Suleiman.
Oh, yeah, put your headphones on.
That's why we got the headphones.
Put your headphones on.
You sneaky Korean. Wow, Suleiman, assalamu alaikum, bro.
What's
good, bro?
You there?
Can you see us? What's good, bro?
Q slick with it, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I called him the Blurian. The Black Korean. He grew up in the hood.
Yeah, I love the show.
How's everything, bro?
Amazing. Everything's good, man.
Where you at right now? What's up with all the trees?
I'm getting ready to do work. This is my workstation.
Speaking of work, so I heard that you just got the job at John Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
Bro, he's at John Hopkins.
I'm a director there now.
That's
bro,
big.
What position you at John Hopkins again, man? I can't even pronounce it, bro.
The full come on, man. I get with that stuff. The full title is Director of Academic Programs at the Institute of Nanobiotechnology.
Say it again. The Institute of what?
Nanobites,
right?
Nanobiotechnology. They look at science from like a
you know what's up with that?
Yeah, of course. Right. So Iron Man's new suit at the end of Endgame,
uh-huh,
it was all nanobites.
Wow. See, the American Asian know all about that joke.
Yeah.
This one for the home team, bro.
But this is the real one, though.
This is the real one, bro.
Yeah.
So he's ahead of us. Bro, you know, when you got that position, we all winning, bro. Congratulations, man.
Yeah,
exactly. I appreciate it, man.
Proud of you from the hood, bro. And you were he was just here.
Yeah, he was in.
He was here for about 8 years.
Nah, I think Suleiman. How long you lived in Saudi?
How long were you in Saudi?
I was in Saudi since 2004. So about and I left there about 17 years.
Oh, 17 years. Okay, my bad.
17
years. He's 10 years late.
It was a tour.
Wow, bro.
Yeah,
like he's back. Tour,
I'm glad. I'm
glad, doing your thing,
I'm glad you're at John Hopkins, man. That's big.
That's big. Man.
That's even big by Korean standards.
The Korean says big is big, man. Huh? What's up, bro? I might have to send my son Muhammad there, man. You know he got one more year.
Yeah.
His grades is up. You know, he still got A pluses. Once I'm ready, I might have to send
hold up.
We got to get him a scholarship. But if he come there, but first we're going to try Saudi Arabia. If not Saudi, UAE. If not UAE, Qatar. If not, I got to send him with Uncle Suleiman, bro.
Yeah, but hold on. Do you guys have a basketball team, though? Because that's the only way Muhammad's going to go there if they have a basketball team.
Nah. He going to get there and do that edumacation.
Yo, he'll get my the wife edumacation. Ain't playing. Yeah, yeah. He needs to play some ball, too.
He going
to
be straight up with some edumacating going on,
you
man.
Might, you never know. In like 10 years, we might be doing this podcast talking about, man, Muhammad Beal in the NBA, man. He needs to step up his game. We're not talking about that.
That boy big, man. What you been feeding him, bro?
I know, right?
Mashallah, bro. That dude, I woke up one day, I heard a voice in my house, and I was like, man, did somebody crack breaking my house? And it was him, mashallah. Yeah, so, you know, because we were talking the other day that, you know, because Muhammad, this is last year in high school. So I guess when he come back from the summer, he got to start his SATs, and then we got to get prepared to try to see what university that he's going to go to, bro. So we at that point. So I'm going to have to hit up Suleiman, get a lot of advice, bro.
Bring him
but
over.
But
bring
John
him
Hopkins
over, bro.
On
bring
the
over.
East Coast, so he's got to take the
Coast.
ACTs.
It's on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has to take the ACTs.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, SATs for the East Coast.
Okay, whatever he going to take, he going to take.
Yeah.
right.
But
right,
I said
right.
it because, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's real.
Huh?
It's real competitive, you know. It's like you know, it's one of the top universities, not just in America, but also in the world.
Yeah.
And the things that they do there, you know, I'm just an administrator, I'm the director, but the things they do, man, they're at the forefront of like cancer research, you know, medical imaging. You know, they come up with new drug designs and stuff like that to battle diseases, anti-aging. I mean, it's really incredible stuff that these people
anti-Asian.
Do.
Anti-Asian.
So I'm just happy to be a
not
part
Asian.
Of it. Anti-Asian. Asian.
Wow, man. I'm proud of you,
yeah,
bro. That,
man.
That's,
big
that's,
up.
That's respect, bro. You did
big
your thing,
up. Appreciate
man.
It, bro.
You know, I was
appreciate
trying to explain
it,
to Q. One time I was speaking with Q and I was telling him how your writing skills is. Not only, you know, he good with the poetry, bro. I was about to tell Suleiman to ghostwriter poetry.
Yeah, you might need it.
He humble with it, bro, but he sent
yeah,
me a poem.
That stuff, bro.
He sent me a poem, and I was like, hold on, you wrote that? I was about to say, bro, ghostwrite a poetry book for
you
me.
I'm a little rusty. You might need to ghostwrite some bars for some of the new rappers out there because they don't know what they're doing.
I know, right?
But you know what's dope? The dope story about Suleiman, man, because he come from the hood, bro.
Yeah, he's like one
from
of us.
Brooklyn. He's one of us. And look where he at. So your life story just shows that anybody can make it, man. There's no excuse. You know, we be sometime in the hood losing hope. We think there's no way out. You know what I mean? But a story like yours can, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What you got to say, Suleiman, to the people that's trapped in the ghetto, they trapped in the hood, and they try to, and sometimes they belittle education. You know what I mean? They think they want the fast route.
I mean, you know, yeah, I've been, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn. You know, a lot of the homies, some of them passed away, you know, some of them got involved in drugs and stuff like that, but they were always, you know, they always saw that I had some potential. So they always really tried to shield me away from that. Whenever they went and did their craziness, they always tell me to stay back and chill. My name is Sean Boogie. So they always say, you know, Sean Boogie, shout out to June, TJ, and, you know, love and everybody. But, they recognize that education is important, but sometimes they just don't have an outlet or they don't have a model themselves within their family, you know? So, you know, I've been very fortunate to have had the opportunity to go to these places. And I mean, really, I mean, it sounds cliche, but knowledge is power. You know what I mean? When you have knowledge and you're able to achieve at high levels academically, the world is yours. You know, you can really make some impact. There's a lot of problems in society. And when you have the academic tools, you can battle those problems, you know, in a way that people are going to respect you and have no choice but to listen to your message. So, you know, sometimes, you know, they say the pen is mightier than the sword, you know, and that's very true. You know, when you have that education, they can take away everything, but they can't take away what you know, you know.
Wow,
so it's definitely something
can take away anything, but it can't take away what you know. That's deep right there,
facts.
Bro.
Yeah.
Facts, yeah.
Man. You're keeping it 100.
You're keeping it 100 from Brooklyn, bro. Yeah. From the hood.
But so, Suleiman, keep it Brooklyn, bro.
I believe also, go ahead, sorry.
No. Yours is more important than mine. I just want to know if he's a Brooklyn Nets fan then.
I'm sure he's always at the game.
I got on the wrong hat.
Yeah, you got the wrong
hat.
He's a Brooklyn Nets.
When it comes to baseball, it's the Mets.
It's the Mets.
But he was just at a recent Brooklyn game, right?
Yeah. I went to the game that Kevin Durant scored 53 points.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Was Hope there?
Yeah, they were playing against the Knicks. Nah, he wasn't there. Oh, he wasn't there.
Please don't ask if it was Eminem there, bro. I'm tired of you bringing up Eminem every show. See, hey,
bro, this time you brought him up.
Bro, because I'm stopping you in advance. I'm stopping you in advance. Now, Suleiman, man, because I know you, you know, and he written my book, you know what I mean? And, you know, so we spoke on like intimate conversations and private conversations. I would say that probably from what I got from you, your mother was very influential in pushing you when it comes to education. Is that correct?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, actually, when was it? Like maybe a few weeks ago, you know, I just rolled out the Dear Mama, just the lyrics, you know, not the song itself, but the lyrics.
They don't listen to music either.
Oh, by Tupac?
To let moms know, you know, just how much I appreciate them, man. You know, it's very difficult in general for a mother, you know, to raise kids, but it's definitely much more difficult when they're on their own. And that was my case, you know, Pops wasn't around. So, you know, I represent, and for many, you know, single mothers across the world, you know, your children represent, they're your investment, you know what I mean? They are your ticket to a better life. So she was on me from like probably 7 years old, 8 years old. She had me in, you know, gifted and talented school. She was always pushing me. My family's pushing me, man. So yeah, shout out to Mom Dukes.
Shout out to Mom Dukes, man. That's one of my favorite tracks for Tupac.
Yeah, I had to tell Q. Q was putting it on the podcast. I had to send him a private message. Like, bro, people gonna think I'm putting up this Tupac lyrics, man.
See, because it was Tupac's anniversary, as in like, you know, his birthday.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, Two Big Chris, one of our homies, you know.
Shout out to Two Big Chris. Part of the team. He from New York too. He from Queens.
Yeah. He was one
of Q homies.
It's Tupac's birthday. We should do like, you know, what's your favorite Tupac songs, tribute. You know? Yeah. So I did that, but then I know he was going to trip. No, not trip about it, but, you know, he was cool.
I had to tell him, man, so I let people think I put up music again.
I put on there, this is Q.
Yeah,
true, I want to know, you know, what your favorite tracks are. And Dear Mama, I could recite that without the music.
Now, the lyrics is definitely, when it comes to lyrics.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street.
The blazing. That's
the back of the time. I never thought I'd see your face. You know, like, come on.
That's
man.
What it is, blazing, not Berean.
I could do it with the Asian accent, too. When I was a younger, me and my mama had 15 years old, kicked out on the street, too.
Yeah, this dude funny, bro.
Hilarious. I love the show, man.
So the book, man, what inspired you to write the book for Muta? I mean, I know.
I mean, I told you. I mean, I think I said, in a number of different interviews, you know, funny enough, being from Brooklyn, me and my homies, you know, we were always riding with Pac. And they actually introduced me to the Outlaws because they all had Outlaws tattoos. I was about 2 weeks away from getting it myself. They all had Outlaws tattoos. And so I've always had an affinity for Pac, always had my love for Muta. He's my favorite one of all of them. And then,
Cuba,
you know, we ended
Seattle
up
was his favorite too.
Anyways, go on.
We ended up being through a mutual friend in Saudi. You know, I didn't realize he was Muslim. I found out he was Muslim. You know, he was very cool, my man. We hooked up, one thing led to another. And then, you know, the documentary came out you know, it was a very powerful documentary, very well done. And then people talk about, you know, well, we're just waiting for your book. And, you know, I'm an academic dude, and I have a lot of publications and high review journals and things like that. So my writing skills, by the grace of God, are pretty strong. So I said to him, yo, what's up? And, you know, he looking at me kind of sideways. I mean, we real cool, but, you know, that's a different level of investment and you know, he got to share his life basically with me. And, you know, I think you've talked about it before, Mood, the job that was done before.
It wasn't done very well at all.
You know,
the reason why I was turned off, because I had somebody turned off because I had somebody write, you know, they wrote my book in the past. And he was an older brother. May Allah reward him, because I think he tried his best. He was an older guy.
Yeah.
But it was very rushed. Like, even to the point when I read, I was like, damn, this is my life? Like, wow. I'm like, damn, I'm...
He Hollywooded up?
Hollywood was like, it was horrible.
Oh.
So I was like, damn. Like, I literally had to read. It was like, I'm really a piece of crap. You know? Like, yeah. So what happened is when somebody was like... When Suleiman hit me up, like, let me write the book, I'm thinking about this guy. Like, nah, I don't even think my life that interesting, man. Because we tried it before. I think it went wood. We used to have jokes in the hood. When the records on sale, we called it wood. It didn't go platinum. It went wood.
Yeah.
But when Suleiman was like, nah, you know, I'm good with the pen, this and this and that. he wrote, I think, the first chapter you sent me.
Yeah, bro, yeah. I was first, like, chapter. Whoa. And I was, you know.
You better get on it. You know what? Tell you.
Hey, Suleiman, you know what? Yeah. Now, you know how Muta is. Man, yeah. Napoleon here, he's not going to do it. He needs to fail. He needs to have bad experiences the first couple times,
right?
And then, just like the podcast show, he didn't want to do the podcast show with me because he had bad experience. Right.
True, the same thing with the podcast show. He came and said, "Let's do it." I was like, "Man, I kind of was going to do it before.
I tried, it didn't go well,
so I'm through with it." So the same with the book. But bro, when I read the first chapter, I was like, "Man, my life popping." Bro, I went from saying my life. I was like, "Bro, this might be all right."
Hey, I'll tell you what though.
I mean,
yes.
I don't know when I'm gonna be able to see you again because I don't know if you're gonna come back to Saudi. But if you ever do, or if we ever go to New York and we meet up with you, I'm gonna have the book. I want you to sign it.
Definitely.
Absolutely. No problem. Yeah. Well, it'd be my pleasure.
But you better read it.
No, I
better read it because
we gotta,
he
said
he don't like to read.
I don't like to read books though. But I'm gonna
tell you.
You definitely want to. I'm not saying it because it's my life. I'm talking about from the way he written the book.
Yeah.
It's the way you won't get bored. Like the way he written it, you would go from, I'm talking about what people,
page to page,
reviews, from messages people seeing me. Like from the time I picked it up, I couldn't put it down.
Oh, bet. Okay, I'm going
to
do it.
Listen, we had a situation, somebody very similar to you. I don't know if I want to mention his name, but somebody very notable hadn't read a book ever. You know what I mean? And he said, When he picked the book up, he couldn't put it down.
I think homie Mike Bibby, Mike Bibby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So Mike Bibby, you know what I'm saying? He hasn't read many books. He said when he read it, he said he couldn't put it down, man, from front to back. So that in and of itself is a tremendous, tremendous honor, man. You know what I mean?
So many people say that Suleiman finds
relevance in it.
And bro, I'm not saying it because it's me. The way he written the book, because usually I always tell people, man, usually what turn people off about an autobiography or biography from a rapper is that majority of the time when a rapper write a book is like an extension of his rap lyrics. Everything is cursed.
Right.
You mother effer this. I did this many drive-bys. I shot. So nobody got time for that, bro.
Yeah.
But the way he written a book, it doesn't matter if you're from the ghetto. Doesn't matter if you from... You know what I mean? North Korea. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you're from North Korea. Nah.
He brings that up in every show. I'm from North Korea. He always brings that
I had to slide that in there, bro. Because he looked like he had an old picture. He looked like the president. Kim Jong-un. The North Korean president. Kim Jong-un is his uncle. So I had to slide that in there. But it don't matter where you're from, whether you don't know about the hood, but the way he written the book, everybody can appreciate it, man.
That's what's
up. So we're going to get Q to read it, bro.
I have the book at home, so I'm going to read it now.
Yeah, read it.
That's what's up. Hey, listen, to the other thing, too, shout out to Yanni. You know, this book has, you know, the messages that we get on Instagram, the messages I get on Twitter, emails that I get, you know, the way that it's changed people's lives, you know, it's really unbelievable, you know, because so many people identify with Muta and his life story. But his life story is not just about somebody from the hood. It's a human story. Yeah. So you have, I'm telling you, I've had white people, I've had Russian people, I've had, you know, Asian people, Arab people. I've had so many people come to me and tell me, you know, we really appreciate, you know, the story that you put together from Muta's life. I've had, I'm talking about very high literary people who, you know, have written books themselves, academic scholars. You know, so the book is written in a way where it's a very wide spectrum of who can relate to it. And I'm just happy that me and Mo was able to put that together and it's successful. And we just hope that it continues to bring inspiration, you know, to everybody for many years to come. No?
Definitely, bro.
And I see you were still rocking the smoky beard.
Got to, man.
We can't get rid of the beard.
This is 20 years of work.
That's 20 years.
20 years of work, bro.
Really? Okay. That's going to be like 50 years for me to grow like that. It took me 5 years to grow this right here.
Yeah, you got to get your beard game tight. You know, this is style now. You know, everywhere I work around, everybody got beards. So
I came back at the right time. I appreciate you coming, answering my phone call. You know,
definitely. All good, bro.
Yeah,
we appreciate you picking up that phone, man. I know you're busy. You got a busy schedule ahead of you.
Yes, sir.
You about to go to work, right?
Yep.
Dude, timing was perfect, though.
Definitely,
I got him right before he went to work.
See, Q on point with stuff, bro.
What time is in New York right now?
He in Baltimore, right? You in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're doing online.
So you're home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, this is home.
Welcome home.
Flexibility.
Welcome home.
I'm home,
Suleiman
in the States.
Suna Magic.
Yes, shout out to Martin Lawrence.
Appreciate y'all.
Steal your title. Not Roscoe Jenkins. Sulamin Jenkins. That's what's up.
Yo, this dude funny, though. You got a little cute, though. Nothing but
jokes.
Nothing
but jokes.
Every show.
Y'all got comic relief, man.
I think there's not going to get bored every show. When you going to take your shahada, bro?
Dude, this I was waiting for that, too.
We need to get this dude to be. We got to get him to become Muslim. May Allah, only Allah make Muslims.
Nah, because the reason he's, because a lot of my views, you know.
Is in line with Islam.
It's basically Islam, too, you know. True. So
one day, God willing, inshallah, one day, he'll be praying with us.
Because I have this saying that I use for almost all my profiles on like TikTok and all that.
Yes.
It's, we walk the same path, but we got different shoes. Live in the same building, but we got different views.
Bars.
That's right.
Well, I didn't know.
But, you got bars, bro.
But you stole that.
That's Drake.
See, he stole that, bro.
But I felt it, though. That was like powerful for me. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Even though I'm an Eminem fan.
I was giving you bars. I was giving them props, bro.
No. I wish I was
roses.
My
Sulima got bars, though. We going to get it. We one day get a poppy, get a poetry book or something.
Yeah, do it.
I hope I'm an honorable member of the Outlaws, bro.
Yeah. You an honorable member. Brother, because when I read them, I was shocked, bro. Yeah. Like, whoa, he got it. Hey. He might have to do a ghost. He might have to write a ghost. Yeah.
He might be a ghostwriter.
Ghost a book for me, man. Hey. Do a poetry book. Say this Napoleon's finest. It'd be written by Suleiman. I say, man, don't tell nobody.
But appreciate you, bro.
We all family, man.
We all family, and man. It's good.
I appreciate you bringing me into your fam as well. You know.
For sure.
All good, bro. Nothing but love, man.
For sure, man. Be safe,
bro.
And be safe out there, man.
Appreciate y'all.
You got to go do your thing,
bro. Y'all.
All right?
No doubt. Peace. No doubt.
Give love to your family for us.
As-salamu alaykum, bro. Be safe out there.
All right.
Peace.
What?
Yeah, you can cut it, man. That was a dope surprise, bro.
Yeah? You can take this off.
You can take Oh, damn. I forgot. See, I forgot I had it on.
Talking about ghostwriting, now you're leaving it on. Yeah. You want to talk to the ghost? What's up?
Now that was a good surprise. Suleiman, a good dude, man.
Yeah.
Really, you know, what's amazing about his life story is that his mother pushed him to take education very serious.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming from the hood, he come from the hood.
Yeah.
And he made it out of the hood.
I think he's
like
honorary.
Like you said, education.
Blurian?
Huh?
Blurian?
Yeah, he might be from a Korean family like that, huh?
He has a Korean mentality. Yeah, man.
Man, so that's dope,
that
bro.
Good.
So, homie, good dude, man. But you got to read the book.
Yeah, I'm going to read it, actually.
Read the book. I'm going to quit. I might give an exam on the book, though.
The next 2 weeks, I'm off.
Yeah, read the book. And
since
give
I'm not going to Korea and I'm staying here.
Yeah, read it.
I might actually just
and give
read
us
it.
Your honest feedback.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just saying it because it's my book, but like he said, man, people,
you know,
from,
me, I always keep
people
it real.
From the hood.
Yeah.
People from, you know, from CEOs of companies who never set foot in the hood, people who never been to America, everyone can relate to it because the way he written the book.
Yeah.
That's important. You want to write the book in a style. Like I said, most rappers, when they write book, it's almost like an extension to a rap lyric. They just want to say how hard they are. But the way he did it, he was able to touch on everything.
Yeah.
From my parents, my grandmother that raised me, what I went through in my neighborhood, you know what I mean? And then how all of that stuff made me unhappy, even though I was considered successful. But I didn't really feel happiness and tranquility until I left that and became Muslim.
Yeah, because you could tell by the Hennessy you were drinking at the time.
The Hennessy messed me up, bro.
That was your gateway to...
Bro, the Hennessy, bro. If I put some of the homies on the phone, they would know where to get... Like, there's a video...
Yeah, like in episode one when we had Young Noble and Edion.
Yeah. There's a video I seen not too long ago.
He said the same thing.
Yeah, Gaddafi, may Allah have mercy on him. It was a video where I was on stage and he was fighting me to take the liquor from me. Because he used to have my back like that. He used to look at me and say, no, he drunk too much.
Yeah,
he'd say, no more. And I'd be like, no, let me get one more sip. But he know what comes after that. So he used to really say, move.
When I
see you getting out of control, I'm snatching it from you. You know what I mean? But Suleiman, good story though, bro. That was a good surprise, bro.
Yeah.
Huh?
All right. I did good with that one.
You did good, bro. You get it.
So
you get a point.
Yep.
So what else is new? What else has been happening? Though? Family good, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? What else been happening? What's new? What's
the same old that we always mention in the
Because you like my
episodes.
News channel, bro. I get all the information from you.
They still talking about the guns in America.
I heard California is allowing the, what is it? They allow you to get the license to carry.
Yeah.
I'm happy, though, finally. Bro, because we want to be, wherever the guns are, I want to be able to
handle guns, though.
I can handle guns.
But the majority of Americans can.
Bro, I need to get my gun license. As soon as I step down in California, I'm putting him up. They're in it. They need education.
Yeah. It's like, who's that congressman or congresswoman? I just recently
I know what you talk about.
I saw an episode, not episode, a news clip.
Yes.
Marjorie something Taylor.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
about. She's a congresswoman. Yes. She was banned from talking because before she was saying like some off the wall stuff that she shouldn't be saying.
Damn, they banned it.
Like racist stuff, you know, all kinds of like you know, like airhead stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of like that, how Donald Trump used to talk whenever he was on, you know?
But Donald Trump's recently, a homie, though. A lot of people might get mad at, but we're going to go back to Donald
honestly,
Trump.
Honestly, I was
actually... Because I get confused with Donald Trump. Is he racist? Is he not racist? I think he just played a good card.
Yeah.
I think he really played the racist card because he know that's what you got to do to get to where you want to get to in America. Yeah. Like, if you certain people going to vote for you, because, you know, before he even ran for president, a lot of his homies, a lot of people he was close with was blacks. Mm-hmm. You know, even when he... Bro, Donald Trump, a lot of people might not agree. We don't have to agree. You know what I mean? But Donald Trump was the first president. If he would have got reelected, he was doing something called the Platinum Package, I believe, where he was about to spend $500 billion in the African-American community. He was going to make 40 Wall Streets in predominantly black areas, neighborhoods, only for black people. He said, I have $500 billion that I want to spend in the neighborhoods for blacks. No other president done that.
Oh, okay.
He released many of the homies. Harry O. You know,
he did though. Yeah,
Amir Loon. We got to get him on the show. Loon, a lot of blacks that who was still can be rotten in jail. That if you really racist, you can say, man, forget these people.
Let me get the white dudes out.
I think he said some racist things, which I think everybody in America
at least once in their life they said something racist. So whether meant to or not,
exactly. I believe everybody have a little bit in them. It's about how you do you. Act on this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know about that, bro. I'll be having debates with homies.
Honestly,
I think he was one of, to me, and I hate politics.
One of the
I
realest?
Think he was the best president America ever had in a long time, but, in my opinion.
But honestly, even though I don't like him as a person, as you know, his character wise,
yes,
I actually wanted him to win a second term because the way the presidency works,
yes,
the second term reflects what you do. In the sea.
Yeah, yeah. The first term is the president before you. Yeah, he rode the coattail.
You're either fixing
of Barack Obama.
Or riding
exactly.
the coattail.
And
the
another thing
president.
I would tell you, bro, because I used to see a lot of stuff like, man, did this dude just make this Muslim ban? He said all these bad things about Muslims. But you know, Trump is the only president who was brave enough to say, somebody asked him. In this video I seen and with my own eyes, heard with my own ears, he was the first president who wasn't afraid to say this. They asked him, he said, look, would you allow a Muslim American vice president? He said, of course I will allow a Muslim vice president to run with me. Why? What's wrong with that? If he's American, his religion has nothing to do with it. If he's a Muslim, I respect that. So the media play when they try to make it seem like it was a Muslim ban. But he said a lot of other things in favor of Muslims. Yeah. So in blacks. So when you see this, you start realize the media only want you to see or know what they want you to know. To me, he was the best president. And I miss waking up in the morning saying, let me go on Twitter and see what Trump said.
Okay, nonsense.
And I'd be like, bro, did he really say that? I usually Google stuff like Trump. And I'd be cracking up laughing, bro.
But anyway, so this girl.
He's funny
though,
as hell, though.
But this girl, I call her the female Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Donald Trump did something like this in an interview once before, too. At the White House.
Yes.
There was an Asian American reporter, and he's like, you know, saying the China virus to her, and like they had a big spat.
China virus. He's crazy on that.
Yeah, this happened again, but with this girl named Marjorie Taylor or whatever.
Yes.
Right? So this woman.
Yes.
I always got cursed right now. Yeah, this woman, she's like talking about the gun thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reporter is from UK. It's a British reporter.
Yes.
And so she's like, what about with all the guns and the mass shootings?
Mm.
He's like, how can you fix that here in the US?
Yes.
She's like, because she's like, in London, in the UK, we don't have guns.
Yeah.
And then like the most elementary thing that she could say is, well, yeah, but you guys have mass stabbings.
Wow.
Like, so
wow, she's a politician.
We have that in America too, though.
Exactly, exactly.
But she's basically, the thing that got me was she said, well, if you don't like it, go back to your country then.
Wow, she told
the
journalists.
Because we like our guns here.
Wow, wow. Yeah.
And that right there is the reason why people...
It's a lot of ignorance.
That right there is the reason why stupid people end up get a hold of guns. And start
they say, look,
up
our
everybody.
Politicians are letting us, they proud of us holding these guns. But I'm all with guns, bro. I'm with, you know, I know it's a split in America, but I'm always about defending yourself. I think it's very important that, you know, because even as a Muslim, protecting your family and having a weapon. And what I mean by this, legally, I'm not saying go in the streets and buy something illegal. Everything about legally. If you can own a weapon legally to protect your family, I think that's part of being a man. In my opinion,
you know what I mean. It's part of being Americans. A man. I honestly think,
I think Americans
can't handle
it. This is where we split. They can't. They do have a problem.
They're using the guns for reasons other than protecting yourself.
Yeah, they do. We do have a gun problem in America, hands down, no doubt about it. But the problem is there. Guns is there. People shooting. So what about the people that want to protect their families? So they got to be on a equal playing field. You know what I mean? So once I touch down in America, I strap up, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm strapping up, bro. Man, like, keep us safe. We don't look for trouble, but we got to be ready.
But if trouble shows up,
if trouble shows up, bro, I'm grabbing guns. We fighting back. You ain't going to have me running, bro. I believe in a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad said, if somebody try to rob you, you stand your ground. If you die, you're a martyr. You come at me with that stuff, boy, I'm banging back.
Man, that's what's up. Okay.
I'm banging back. I don't want no trouble. Bro, but I don't want no trouble. I want to stay far. I want to make this clear. I don't want no trouble. I ain't looking for
no trouble.
And
you're not for violence.
I'm not for violence.
You have to protect
your family. Protect you and your family. That's it. I'm all about that.
I think that comes down with a man.
It comes down with the man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
May Allah keep us safe. May Allah keep our family safe and protect the people back home. Of course, we don't want problems, but you got to be ready. That's the reality of America. I remember I used to walk, when I first moved to Saudi Arabia, I used to go back home in slippers. I mean, like my sandals, because I'm used to wearing sandals in America, in Saudi. Mm-hmm. So I remember the first time I went back to America, my brother picked me up and he seen me with sandals. He's like, bro, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what you mean what's wrong with me? He's like, you got sandals on. He's like, I said, and? He's like, but you back in America. Like, what if you have to fight? Like, and I had to realize, like, damn, look at the mentality of the USA.
Yeah.
It's a cold mentality, but this is the reality, bro. Yeah. He said, but what if you have to fight, defend yourself? Why are you walking around with DC? Yeah. So I couldn't just be like a normal dad or uncle.
Yeah.
I couldn't just rock my sandals like a normal, because you never know, Aki. You never know, bro. Yep, you got to be ready
at all
times.
That is how it is. That is how
it
is.
You got to be prepared.
Especially like in where, you know, Brooklyn, New York,
LA,
Chicago,
they say LA is crazy right now. You got to be
LA
ready.
LA is really crazy.
When I go back to America, bro, like when I'm in Saudi Arabia, I can sit, my back position can be facing the door. Yeah. I can sit anywhere because it's safe.
Yeah.
As soon as I go to America, if I'm at any restaurant, wherever, I'm always knowing who coming in and out that door. It's like it automatically click. Who coming in and out that door? I'm looking at everything. Like, you go back to, you know what I mean? Then when I come back to Saudi Arabia after a couple salats in the mosque, I calm down again. I realize I'm back in, you know what I mean? Because when I come back, at first I'm like, why are you looking at me? And then I realize, like, wait a minute, I'm not in the USA no more. Calm down.
All right, so this time you're going to go to the States. When you come back, I'm going to wait about a week until I have to come back. I'll be on the phone with you, but I'll be like, hey, nah, when you come homie. Through, I'm like, no, you good first?
Yeah, I got to get the PTSD out of my system.
You back to Saudi life? All right, I'll be there.
I swear by Allah, wallah, when I first came out here, I was really on it like that.
Yeah.
Like, people be staring at me. I'm like,
oh, dude.
Because America make you like that. Yep. You like, this dude got a problem.
That's how I was doing it when I first got here, too.
We be messed
up,
bro.
Or someone's behind me. Like, I'm at the grocery store, and, you know, they like to stand right behind you. Like, I could feel them breathing on my neck. And
you
got to
do what I do.
I got back and like, yo, what's up?
I kind of tell them to back up. I'm like, bro, can you give me some feet, bro?
Yeah,
in a nice way, but you teach me. Give me a couple
of
elbows.
You about to kiss me in the neck, dude. That's not cool, you know? Like, no.
PTSD clicking. Yeah. When you back in America, that you be on point, like. Debo back, like, what you looking at? You know what I mean? It's sad, though, that you got to be like that.
Your sixth sense is gonna, but it is the reality. But that's life, you know?
That's life, man. You got to be on point.
That's why people who's not from America, they think America's like the dream place to be. It isn't.
Until they get clunked in the head. Yeah. They be walking as a tourist.
They get shot at, you know? Like,
yeah, it's crazy, bro.
You never know.
It's crazy. Yeah. I remember one of my wife's cousins, Muhammad, he's from Dubai. When he first went to America over 20 something years ago, imagine a kid from Dubai. He know about Bloods and Crips culture. He know about it from television and rap music. And he was in what's that mall on Crenshaw by Crenshaw and Slauson? It's a mall they have there.
The mall or the fleet? Swap
meet. No, it's like a small mall. I forget the name.
Yeah, Crenshaw Hills Mall.
Crenshaw Hill Mall.
Yeah.
So I believe that's it. Because Pac even did To Live and Die in L.A. there.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's Crenshaw Hills Mall.
Bro, he was walking. I think that area is might near the jungle, so it might get a lot of bloods there. Whatever.
Yeah.
He had the wrong color. I don't know what color he had on, but he did it as a test. He thought it was a joke, so he put the whatever, either blue or red on with a blue bandana. He was walking in the mall, and this 20 years ago, we're gangbanging in the 90s.
Well, they'll shoot you in the mall. 90s.
90s, yeah. It was crazy in L.A.
They'll pull a strap out of you in the mall.
You know what happened? A dude called him into the Nike store and said, where you from? He said, I'm from the Middle East. He said, man, just take this shirt for free. Take that color off. He gave him a free shirt and said, man, put this on because where you at right now with that color, you can be a walking dead man. Then he realized, like, wait a minute, this is real.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't know that, man. When you go back to America, don't play with that. I always try to tell the Saudi kids and, you know, the young kids that want to dress up and act like a gang member, bro, it is real back in America. And even now, the gang activities and war started even increasing. Got to be careful, bro. Even though the color changed a little bit because, you know, you start seeing some Crips wearing red now. But when I was in the 90s, that was unheard of.
Yeah.
When I was in L.A., a Crip would never put on red or a blood would never wear blue. But now they do it just out of style.
In fact, I remember.
But you still got to be careful.
I remember back in the day, if a Crip was wearing something and it had like Tommy Hilfiger and it had a little red, they'll put a Band-Aid on it.
To
hide the red.
Did I tell you the story about when we was on Venice Beach? My bad. Go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead.
When we first moved to L.A., because, you know, we originally from New Jersey.
Yeah, from
Jersey.
So
when we first went to L.A., when Pac, I told this story many times. The last time I told this story was on my Instagram Live years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what happened. So we went to Venice Beach. Did I tell us on one of the podcast shows?
No.
I don't want to repeat myself.
This is our first one. So we went to
L.A., and we used to go to Venice Beach to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, I think it's known that Outlaws, we was affiliated. We used to hang a lot, even though Big Psych, Bogart, Big Psych is from IVC, Imperial Village Crip, he was a homie. Bogart was from Schoolyard Crips. These were people who was close with Pac. But when we went to Death Row, we started hanging around like Whack Deuce and them. They was from Mob Pop. We started hanging out with a lot of Bloods at that time. So they started influencing us when we started wearing a lot of red. Like, even though Speedy, that's my homie. Like, he's locked up right now. But I think he was from one of these the Crip gangs. He also became Muslim. But Speedy is a known, you know, rider in L.A. Yeah. So we used to hang with Speedy as well. But we did a lot of, like, me and Whack Deuce, he was Shook, little homie from Ma Paru. We was very close.
Yeah.
So we started wearing red and stuff like that because we was hanging around him. And one day we went to play basketball in Venice Beach. Fader was there, Gaddafi, all of us. I think Young Noble was there. And we noticed the basketball, people just started surrounding the basketball court. We from the hood, man. You don't got to clonk us in the head to know.
Yeah.
You ain't going to hit me in the head to find out where's the danger coming from. We smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
So when they started surrounding the court, we looked at each other like,
We might have to bounce.
Yeah, like, but we can't bounce because we gotta bounce, but we can't act afraid because if we in trouble.
Yeah.
So let's play basketball like we tourists. Let's act like we tourists. So we just kept playing basketball. We was outnumbered. So even if we wanted to say, look, none of the Outlaws, we not afraid. We gonna fight.
Yeah.
But we literally was outnumbered. So we knew we finished. And back then in the 90s, everybody got guns. Mm-hmm. I think I had like some Nikes on with red. Somebody else had red. We all had red on. Thank God the OG, before he told the little homies to start shooting, he told him, he said, wait, let me, because he heard our accent. Like, these dudes sound like they're not from around here.
Yeah.
They from the East Coast. He walked up to us, and I remember he walked up to me. He's like, what's up? Where y'all from, man? Y'all from L.A.? And usually, when you from, that means what hood you from.
Yeah,
he was like, are you from L.A.? And we was like, nah, we're originally from New Jersey. He was like, okay, cool. He walked back and started talking to him. Before he walked back, he said, okay, cool. He said, we from Venice Shoreline Crips. Bro, I didn't even know Venice Beach had Crips, bro. He said, we from Venice Shoreline Crips.
Yeah.
He said, you see the homies there? Because the color y'all wearing is not allowed around here. He said, the homies was about to just start mashing. Like, they just going to put in work on y'all.
They're about to
pop off. Yeah, he said, but I realized from listening to you guys talk, you guys sound like y'all from the East Coast. He said, bro, we going to give y'all a ghetto pass. We got to teach the people with the ghetto pass. He said, we going to give y'all a ghetto pass, bro, but I advise you to leave. Because if somebody else come, honestly, with that color on, you guys might get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I was like, thanks. I appreciate that. So check this out. So because we're talking about knowledge, this is an amazing thing what Suleiman said. So I mentioned this story on my Instagram Live like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I get a private message, a DM from a dude. He said to me, he said, bruh, I was one of the dudes who was there that day with the homies from Venice Shoreline Crips. You know what he said? He said, everyone else who was with me are dead. They all got killed.
Damn.
He said, I'm the only one who survived. He said, because I decided to change my life and I went to college. He said, I decided to go get knowledge. He survived. He said, everyone, he said, even the big homie got murdered. He said, everyone who was there, they all died except for me. I was like, bruh. So we had some words. I said, I'm proud of you.
That's crazy.
He stopped gangbanging.
Yeah.
And went to university, went to get an education, man. But it's crazy, bro.
Dang.
So, of course, if they died, they was active. They was about to light us up.
Yeah.
So after we finished playing basketball, we still tried to walk like we was hard. But then when we got away from them, we started walking a little quick. Like, man, they might change their mind. That ghetto pass might be revoked.
No, but I haven't seen that. Okay, so in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And me and Two Big Chris, we saw this on TikTok and stuff like that.
Yes.
There's, the dudes that live here, like the Sudanese, the Ethiopians, the Somalians and all that.
Yes.
That were born and raised here.
Yes.
I don't know if they're watching a little too much BET.
Yes.
But I think I sent it to you too, saying, look at these jokers.
Yeah, you say that. I was shocked, bro. You know, they were dressed like Crips. Even Saudis. I know some Saudi Shabab that have dressed like
gang members. And remember
when we
went to Boulevard?
Yes.
Remember you had the Saudis walking around going, what's up, man?
Yeah, you got to realize.
And
man,
I was like, dude, I'm not allowed to say it, you can't. You definitely can't say it, you know? Like,
no, but they might can say it before you.
Doubt that, because at least I'm from L.A., hood.
But in America,
Saudi Arabia.
But in America, you have, and I hate to say this, but this is the reality. You have, they call blacks niggas. This is reality. And they call Arabs sand niggas.
Yeah.
So the Arabs might feel like we have a way to say it before you.
Yeah.
But I don't like to use that word anymore. Yeah, you know what I mean? But, but
that's
crazy. The crazy part is that, I don't like to use that word, but I don't get offended when I see like Arabs using it, because they people of color. You know what I mean? And it depends on how they're using it. Even though I hate the word, I tell them though, look, but I would tell them in a way where like Big Shadid, he doesn't. I remember one time one of the Saudis used it in the coffee shop, and Big Shadid was like about to smash on him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you relax, because Shadid, he don't like that.
Yeah, OG Poet? Yeah.
Yeah, but OG the Poet, shout out to Big Shadid. Yeah. But when I see Saudis, they come up and they say, hey, what's up, my, and like in a cool way, I don't get offended, but I explain to them why they shouldn't use it. You know what I mean?
Well, because I know you're okay. You're like, you don't really care if they use it.
I don't like that they use it. But I don't get,
they shouldn't be able to use it anyways.
I don't get hurt from it.
That word, the N-word, was made by a white man in America, in America,
yes,
to refer to the slaves.
Yes.
So therefore,
yes,
that does not apply for only because you're black.
Yes.
Because you're from Africa doesn't mean you're allowed to say. Because I know some of my homies in L.A.
Yes,
there was an African dude who came straight from Africa.
Yeah.
And he said it, and he's like, hey, you're not allowed to say that. And he even pointed, he's like, if anything, this Asian dude right here is allowed to say it.
Well, that's from
you.
A cultural thing. See, from a cultural thing, you might could say it. But when you come down to this word, in America, you hear white people say, hey, he's a saying nigga.
Yeah.
He's from Arabia, he's a saying nigga.
Yeah.
He's from here, this is what I always try to tell my Arabs, like, don't say it, but in America, you are considered black. They are considered black.
Yeah.
You fall into
black or brown.
Yeah, you are black or brown. You're going to look like a Mexican or Puerto Rican. You're going to look like a Latino. You're going to fall with a black or a Latino.
Yes, sir.
I don't like to, so when it comes to that, you in a boat with us.
Yeah.
They call you the sand nigga, they call us. I don't like it because it's still a word, like you said, it was originated to be a disrespectful word.
To degrade you.
To degrade you. So even though you got some black people like Pac say, the nigga that we, like Pac used to say, we say N-I-G-G-A, not N-I-G-E-R.
Yeah, when N-I-G-G-A, you add the E-R.
N-I-G-G-A means never ignorant, getting goals accomplished.
Yeah.
Pop try to switch it.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of black people, they switched, they took a negative word. This is, and me giving this excuses, I'm talking about both sides. I don't like to use it, but I'm gonna tell you why some black people use it. So Pac said nigga to him, N-I-G-G-G-A, means never ignorant, getting goals accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
I remember
So you have some people that.
And then I said it once.
Yes.
And I almost got beat down for it. And I was like, no, I don't mean that part. I mean, well, Pac said, and I actually said that.
Yeah.
That kind of saved me, but I remember when he said that.
See, growing up in New Jersey and also in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
I don't get offended when I see people who know our culture. Like, for example, if I'm growing up in the hood and you're in the hood with me and you say, what's up, my N? I don't get offended because you part of us in that hood.
Yeah.
Like the same way Puerto Ricans are considered us growing up.
And your old manager, like, he
like Steve LaBelle used to say, I never got offended. And, but LA people,
Bone
from LA was about yeah. to, Bone got offended. But when people say, how do you let this dude say that? It's because the way I was raised is that when you grew up in the hood, you got blacks, you got Puerto Ricans, Latinos, you got some white, you know what I mean? You got some white people, you got Asians. It's a cultural thing now. You understand where you got people that they do it and they say it, but it's not disrespectful because this Asian dude or Korean or Chinese dude grew up with blacks all his life. Mm-hmm. So he picked up our culture. So this is why when some people say I don't get offended because I look at it like they not saying it in a degrading way or disrespectful way. They know the culture. You know when a person is from us and not from us, but some people don't like it. Me now where I'm at in my life, I don't like to use it.
Yeah,
I don't use it. You know what I mean?
But the one thing I got to mention, I saw this on TikTok. I think I told you about it. I didn't send it to you. I told you about it.
Yeah.
This dude was seawalking. He was crib walking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
From he was where? Actually pretty good, too. He's yes. here in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, wow.
And he's posting it, but he's wearing...
What was he wearing? I'm listening.
A red blood bandana.
But he's seawalking.
Yeah, and he has a red bandana hanging out. And I'm like... And I actually go on there and I was like, yo, man.
he was crip walking with a red bandana.
I'm neither, but if this isn't in the U.S., you would have got shot up already. And I'm like, because you got.
Because they don't know.
If you're crip walking and you're wearing red, it means that you're disrespecting the cribs. I'm like, you might, you know.
Or they're going to say this dude definitely don't
you're
know.
You're not American. You're Saudi. So just, you know,
just stay away from you. Don't need that. You know, like Saudi, for example, they got strong culture. Be happy to be who you are. And stay away from that thing because you might open up a door.
Yeah.
That you can't close. You know what I mean?
Let's say he goes to the States.
Yeah, yeah.
He finally gets a chance to go to like New York or LA. Or
somewhere, yeah, yeah.
And he's doing that. Mm. And he ends up getting shot up. Now so you know why. You know?
That's what I said. So I tell people.
Try to tell him just so I can help him.
Oh, exactly.
And then somebody else backlashed at me and going, what is this Chinese dude talking about? He doesn't know anything. It's like
but Chinese, I'm but like, you from LA.
Yo, that's when the hood came out. I was like, yo. You know, I'm from LA. I grew up with this. You know, I know what I'm talking about.
And you trying to help him.
Then he apologized. And I was like, because I was like, yo, if anything, I'm more hood than you are.
Cue so, for the hood, bro.
Yeah, but anyways.
But anyway, that was a good show. That was a dope show. We had Suleiman. That was a good surprise. Suleiman. Appreciate that, man. Say it again.
Suleiman. I know how to say it. I know how to say it.
Don't say it. Salagadada.
No, but you see, I'm doing the ignorant American thing.
Again,
we actually pronounce everything.
Like you sound like a straight up hillbilly.
Yeah, because we pronounce everything. Like how white people used to say reggaeton, they were like reggaeton. You know, I'm saying like that. Anyways, yeah, it was good.
Reggaeton,
having, yeah, reggaeton instead of reggaeton. You know,
I think I might say it like the white people reggaeton. Right? I didn't even know that's how you say it. You just taught me something.
It's reggaeton.
You just taught me something, bro.
They say reggaeton. You know,
but damn, good show.
Yeah.
Dope show. Appreciate it once again.
Yeah, proud of
you
him.
Me.
Proud of Suleiman.
Yeah, Suleiman, man, doing his thing, man.
It's good seeing him again.
And that's a representation of the hood, all of us. When, you know, when some of them from like that make it, we all made it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so
sir.
Appreciate it, man. So we out.
Yeah, we
until
out.
Next time.
Till next time. Deuces. Right. That was good, right?
That was dope. Dope.
Is it right? Yeah, super.
Manscaped. Stay fresh, clean start, head to toe, finishing touch, extra refinement. Bro, what did you bring me, man?
Man.
What is this?
All right. So the support for Mutu Q
yes.
is brought to you by Manscaped.
Okay.
Right? Manscaped, they are the men's grooming champions of the world. Not just the city, Craig, the world.
The world?
That's one of my favorite lines.
Wow. The world. You really mean the world.
Yeah. Manscaped, because what they do is they offer a precision engineered
dope
grooming technology.
But I like to look rough, man. I don't touch my beard. I like to look a little rough.
What about
you know
from
what I
the
mean?
Neck down, though?
Oh, yeah. From the neck down, we got to stay smooth,
like, when you
man.
Take your shirt off, it's going to look gotta, like you
have a
sweater.
You got to be smooth, man. You know what I mean?
Some people are like that. You know what you do? And I like to feel silky smooth, you know?
Silky smooth, huh?
You know, like...
Silky smooth?
Yeah. Just for me. Just for me, you know?
Dope.
The way I feel, like, I want to be silky smooth from the neck down. So
I'm going to give it a try, then. I'm going to give it a try, man.
So what it comes with is this set... Is a special thing. Now,
yes.
They just started in UAE.
Okay.
Okay. They just launched in the UAE, and this is the fourth generation of trimmers.
Okay.
Right? And the lawnmower 4.0, which means there's been many, many versions before that, but this is the 4.0.
Dope.
This one is, dude, look at that. That looks
Yeah, that looked dope. That looks pretty. That looked dope.
Looks, I think Manscaped is the Rolex of men's grooming.
Wow. Say no more.
Not Casio.
Say no more. I'm buying. Rolex. I'm in.
Okay, order. So this is the
give
nose
me your credit card. I'm ordering today.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it comes with this. They call this the weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
Okay. You know, because some people, they'll be having like...
This for the nose and the hair.
The ear trimmer in the ear. Man, yeah. I'll be seeing some people's ears and I'm like, dang.
Yeah, you know, my grandfather from Cuba, he kind of had like that afro coming out of his ears.
Yeah, right?
And I'm actually following suit.
I call it the Allen Iverson ear.
I'm right behind him, so I'm glad that...
Yeah. But then, no, this... Honestly, the way it looks...
Even the way that it's modern, the weed whacker.
Yeah, the weed whacker.
That's dope right there.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got in this box?
So the box comes with like, you know, like...
Can I see?
The Crop Reviver.
The Crop Reviver, okay.
Right? It's toner.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
And then you got the Crop Preserver.
The Crop Preserver.
Which is deodorant, not only for your armpits, but everywhere else, you know?
Dope.
Yeah.
What else we got in that box?
And here's the amazing part. Look how slick and slim that is. Honestly, when I first got this, I was like, where do I charge this at?
Facts.
But it comes with like a little charging dock that you just put it on and it charges it like the technology. I'm like, this got to be made by Koreans. My people had to make this.
Nice.
As nice as it looked, I know my people
check that out, man.
Yeah,
that looked dope.
Looks nice. Oh, the camera's over there.
I try to play it off. Look, I did it slow. Yeah. Look, well, actually, it's three cameras in this room. Yeah. Korean. Korean try to make us look like we don't make... It's a camera there, no, and it's a camera there. Say the camera recording is over there. So... Now, but you saw me try to play it off. When you said that, I did like this.
Yeah,
I was smooth with it. Smooth as Manscaped.
So this upgraded trimmer, right? This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on and off switch.
Okay.
So like you can actually travel with this. So if you click it three times,
yes,
it won't turn on while it's in the bag.
Dope.
So that's what's good about this.
Dope.
Right? Manscaped.
And
that name, man. They got it with the name.
Yeah, they do anything, man.
Amazing. Marketing is amazing.
I'm going to try it out.
Yeah. So, and then it's wireless charging too, by the way.
Wow.
Did I mention the wireless charging?
Did you mention that?
For both the weed whacker and the lawnmower. This is called lawnmower.
Lawnmower.
4.0.
The names are killing me, bro.
Yeah, right.
Check them out. Y'all see it. We over here with it. Check it out.
Now, here's the best part of this.
Okay.
You get a 20% discount
if they
use the code. Mutu-Q.
Mutu-Q, get your 20% discount.
20% discount when you use Mutu-Q at manscaped.com.
Manscaped.com.
And for our Saudi viewers, they just launched in UAE, which means they could deliver here tomorrow.
One day.
Bukra.
One day deliver. Bukra.
Right? That's tomorrow.
Bukra.
Right?
Bukra. He said Bukra. Did
tomorrow,
he just curse
right?
in Arabic?
Bukra.
Bukra, but I think he might have just cursed himself in Arabic.
No, I meant tomorrow. Bukra.
Bukra.